Yeah, so we're going to do continue on the Nyan of the Yoma. Usually when Pesach ends, it's not Nyan of the Yoma anymore to do Pesach, but I'm going to do Pesach Sheni. So that gives us 30-day extension. So I don't know if we'll do it for 30 days, but... Okay, so that's what I happen to be lot to learn over Yantar, so... Interesting to you. So I think this is a pretty fundamental one of Pesach Sheni. So it's Tzadi Gimel Amud Aleph. It's about halfway down the page. The end of the line says Tanu Rabbana. Okay? The basic question... You know, let me just grab the pasuk. Oh, I had it actually here. It's in the landing. We landed on Chol-Moed... on Chol-Moed... I don't know, the fourth day of Chol-Moed, I think, something like that. So it says... It's basically regarding Karis. How do you get Karis for Mevatel, the Karban Pesach? Under what conditions? So it says, this is in Bamid Bartas. It says, Dabar el-Bnei Yisraelimor, ish-ish ki ha-tamei la-nefesh, o b'der chachok alachem. So if a person is tamei la-nefesh, or b'der chachok alachem, v'asa Pesach ha-shem. Fine. V'chodesh ha-sheni. So if he's tamei b'der chachok on the first Pesach, so he can't, he's too far away, or he's tummy, so he can't bring the Pesach. So he brings the Pesach, v'chodesh ha-sheni bar-basayim le'in arbayim. Yasu so on the 14th of Iyar. Right? I'm sorry, yeah, Iyar, he's on Iyar. Amatsu mar michlu, he does it with matzo mar. Le'ishir menu ad boker, v'atsum le'ishbru bo. Can't leave it over until the morning. Then you can't break a bone. K'chol chukas ha-Pesach yasu so. So just like all the regular halachas of Pesach, you do it. Okay? So the Gemara basically says all of the things on the physical Pesach itself, you do the same. But things which are extraneous to it, like I think like owning chametz, things like whatever it is. But the basic halachas are the same. Okay. Then he says that's not really our sugya. Then he says isha shehu tahar, but a person who's tahar, ubederach lohaya, and this is on Pesach Rishon, he's not far away and he's tahar. The chadalas of the Pesach, and he ceases. He doesn't do the Pesach. He refrains from doing the Pesach. So then he gets karis. Because he didn't bring the Karban Hashem in its time. This person should bear his sin. Okay, fine. So basically it's saying is that there's a karis for a guy who's tar. Derech HaChoka, tar is not on Derech HaChoka, and he doesn't bring Pesach, he gets karis. Okay, so now the question is what's this talking about? For not bringing Rishon, for not bringing Shani. Well, under what conditions does a person get karis? Okay? Does it matter if he's mazed on one of the, does he have to be mazed on both? Does he mazed on one, mazed on the other? Does it matter? It seems to be pretty clear that obviously, if you're never mazed, then you can't be chayav karis. Because karis is for a willful sin. But let's say you're mazed on only Rishon and not Shani, or only Shani and not Rishon. Right? Then do you get karis? So that's what the question's about. Okay? So it says like this. Tan Rabban. Chayiv karis al Rishon, chayiv karis al Shani. Devei Rebbe. So Rebbe holds you chayiv karis for either Karban Pesach. Whether you're amazed and you don't bring it on Rishon, or if you're amazed and you don't bring it on Shani. Okay? Either way, either one, you're going to be chayiv karis. So Rashi. He says, Chayiv Kares Yesh Alzeh Ve'alzeh. Okay, so there's a Chayiv Kares on both of them.
Where's that Rashi, please? Further down?
No. Halfway, no, they're the same place.
Oh, yeah.
Chayiv Kares Yesh Alzeh Ve'alzeh. U'bechad gavar lo mashkach asla. You can't have one person be chayiv both. The trey katli bechad gavar laka. Because you don't kill a guy twice. So Kares is some sort of, it's a one-time thing. You can't get two Kareses. So what's an achmina? So maybe you'll say it's in a kares. Usually, there's if you do a shogig, then you get then you have to bring a karban chata. So maybe you'll say he's teaching you that he has to bring two chatas as if he's you know he does them both rishon and sheni. He's involved in them both the shogig. He says now that also like a lamer the hachid the kares the pesach in chayev and also gasa chatas because there is no karban chatas for a karban pesach. It's not because a pesach v'hamila mitzvah say even in chatas boil al shigas kares shalav. So in general, the principle is that a chatas is for violating kares. and this din with something which has kares, if you violate it, v'shogeg, you bring chatas. But your average lav, for instance, I don't know if you know this, your average lav, let's say you eat pig. So pig is a lav, there's no karis if you eat pig. So if you do b'shogeg, there's no karis. There's no chatas. There's no karmel chatas. Karmel chatas is for chamuros, for things which if you did b'mezid, it would be karis, or worse, or chayim misa. Then if you do b'shogeg, then you really have karmel chatas. So in general, the principle is it's karis. But it's there's two assays which are karis, which is Pesach and Milah. But there's no shogeg, there's no carbon for that. Carbon's only for a low saseg of karis. Okay? So you can't be the nafkamina of telling me chayb karis for rishon and for sheni is vis vis shogeg and chatos, because there is no chatos for a shogeg. So what's the nafkamina to tell me that there's a chayb karis for the first line and for the second one? So chayb karis once, you don't need to be, you can't be chayb karis twice. So it says, Ella nafkamina, De'im shogag be'echad mehem v'hizid b'chaveru chayiv. If you're shogeg on one of them and amazed it on the other, then you're chayiv karis. Right? So if you're let's say you don't do either of them. So you have two cases. Either in the first one you say, I'm not doing it. Not bringing karm pesach. Amazed it. Okay? Then even though the second one you decide, then you could still bring on the second one. Even if you are shogeg on the second one, it's not gonna, you know, you want to bring the second one, but it's not gonna help you, it doesn't do anything, you may say, already, it's too late, you already got your cars.
So the Pesach Sheni can't help someone who's made it on the
right,
first?
Exactly.
Even if he brings it?
Yes, it seems so, right. That's not clear, but let's go with that for now. Okay? And, because you're made it on the Rishon, turns out that's Machlokas Rashi Rama. So let's leave it alone for now, but if you're shogeg on the second one, definitely. If you're mezid on the first and shogeg on the second one, definitely get gars. Okay, and or if you were shogeg on the first one, and then comes along on the second one, and you're mezid on that one, then also you get gars. Okay, because you're mezid, all you need to be is mezid on one of them. Okay, or he says inami legershin skarbein shnei pesachim. Let's say a guy's a convert and he converts in between the two pesachs. So rishon he wasn't chayef, right? But sheni. He is chayev, right? So he says if he doesn't do sheni, if he makes it, he's mechayev karis, according to Rabbi, because there's karis for rishon and karis for sheni, two separate karises, right? Okay, so that's Rabbi's position. So that's the first thing. That's Rabbi. Okay, so Rabbi's basically saying is there's karis for both of them; they both have karis independently. Fine. Rabbi Nasan Omer chayev karis al rishon upater al sheni. He says, no. There's only karis on the first one. Okay? First one is machayv yom karis. Second one does not. Okay? So it says, what does that mean? Rashi. Upater al hasheni, v'im shagag v'rishon v'hizid v'sheni pater. Right? So he says, if you're mezid on rishon, and you're shogeg on sheni, then you chayv karis, because you're mezid on rishon. But if it's the opposite, if the first one you're shogeg and the second one you're mezid, you don't get karis for that. Karis is only for the first one, basically. You don't get karis for the second one. Okay? That's Rabbi Nosson. Good? Okay. The Gemara is going to explain these. For now, we'll just take the facts, but the Gemara is going to explain them. And the third position, there's only three. Rav Hananya ben Akavya Omer, Af al harishon eino chayiv karis, ela imkein lo asa shasheni. Even for the first one, you're not chayiv kares unless you don't do the second one. Which means that if... Let's see, Rashi. Af al harishon im hezid, even if the first one of your mezid, eino chayiv kares ad sheyazid af b'sheni, you're not chayiv kares until you have a mezid even on the second one. Aval im also as hasheni. Oh, shagagbo. But if you're mezid on Rishon and then on the second one you bring it, or even if you're just shogeg on the sheni,
pater liyamri, you're pater totally. Okay, the sheni tashlumin the Rishon, because the second one is a tashlumin of the Rishon.
Okay, it's like some sort of a makeup or a payback.
V'takanta the Rishon, and it's also a fixer of the Rishon. Umezid shalau and umezid of sheni, who gamro shall kares the rishon.
It's that which it completes the kares of rishon.
Okay, Hilgach Be'ezim and Shoshogag Potter. So therefore, if you're shogging on either one of them, you're going to be Potter. Okay? So it's like the Kares, you're only Chayiv Kares if you're amazed on both of them.
Wait,
no,
the second one.
What?
If you're
amazed
on the second one.
And the first one. If you're shogging on the first one, then for sure you don't get Kares. He's agreeing with the second position, which holds that you only get Kares for the first one. What he's saying is that even if you're mazed on the first one, you could rectify it if you bring the second one or if you're shogging on the second one.
Right, but according to this opinion, you shogging on the first, mazed on the second, it's Kares.
No. Because the second one is like a completion. It completes the Kares that you got in the first one. The first one you get the Kares for, and the second one somehow is the Gemar, the completion of that. But if the first one you are shogging, then you're not going to get Kares.
I would have thought of it as Tashlumin, it's completely making it up, and it's its own thing.
Well, Tashlumin is like an opportunity to make up that which you missed. But if you were shogging the first time, then you're not subject. I mean, you do bring it. You get to bring it, but you're not going to get Kares.
Right.
The Kares is only for the Rishon. And right. the Kares is... Well, Kares is like somehow on the completion, the combo. The combo, he's only.
He says
only. You have to bring it. You have to be Chayiv for both of them.
Do you mean
that? Achiyaz at Af B'Sheni. Right? It's Af B'Sheni. It's the Gemara Kares and the Rishon. So the second one alone won't be Mechayiv Yikares. It's not like the second one is Mechayiv Yikares. It's the first one is Mechayiv Yikares in tandem with the completion. If you complete your sin of the first one somehow through being mazed on the second one also, then you're Mechayiv Yikares. But if you rectify things somehow on Shani by doing it or becoming Shogeg, then you're okay. Then you're Potter.
It doesn't sound very much like a Tashlumin.
Well, why not?
A Tashlumin would be a separate opportunity, a new opportunity. This would make it sound like they're linked.
Well, Tashlumin is not exactly a separate opportunity. It's like somehow making up or paying back your previous thing. So it is linked in some sense. Like if you do two minchas, so then your second mincha is like counting for your chakras. So it's making up your chakras. Mm-hmm. So there is a link when you have a tashlumin. It's a payback. It's not a totally separate thing. Totally new is the first guy. First guy is saying it's totally new. Because he says, Chayiv Kares for this, Chayiv Kares for that. Two totally different things. Chayiv Kares for both of them. Second position is saying it's a tashlumin. Which means, essentially what it means practically is that you're not Chayiv Kares for Shani. You're Chayiv Kares for Rishon. No matter what, Chayiv Kares for Rishon. Right? You're amazing on Rishon, Chayiv Kares. And the third guy is saying, no, you're Chayiv Kares for Rishon only, not Shani. But even for Rishon, it's only if you continue your Kares into Shani. Continue your Mazed into Shani. Okay? I mean, the Gemara is still going to explain them. For now, these are the basic facts. The Gemara is going to explain them a little bit. Even though Rashi is starting to explain the third position, the Gemara is going to explain all three of them. Rashi is jumping the gun a little bit. He's using the Gemara's explanation of them, which is yet to come. Okay? Okay, so let's see how the Gemara explains it. Okay, practically, the facts are, Rishon, the first guy holds Yechayiv Kares for either one of the two. Second and third both say Yechayiv Kares only for the first and not for the second. But the second one says first is Kares, period. Second one says first is Kares, period. That's it. Whereas the third says, no, first is Kares, but you could rectify it, and the only Chayiv Kares if you do it on, he makes it on both of them. Okay? Okay. Fine. Or I guess even briefer, is the first sheet that holds Kares is for either or. The last one holds Kares is for both. Both Bemeza, the combo. And the second, the middle position, holds Kares is only for the first one. Then do the second one. Okay. So what's the argument here? The Azdulei Tamayu. So it says they go according to their reasoning. Okay? They're going according to their old, this is an old machlokas. Okay, it's contingent on a different machlokas. And they line up Lashitasam in this other machlokas. That's Rabbi and Ramnasan, the first two. Tanya, Gershnes Gayer Ben Shnei Pesachim. V'chein Katan Shegdol Ben Shnei Pesachim. So let's say you convert in between the two Pesachs, or you become a Gadol, Bar Mitzvah, in between the two Pesachs. So what happens? So it says, Chayavas Pesach Sheni, the Rebbe. So Rebbe holds you Chayav Pesach Sheni. Just because you weren't Chayav in Rishon, doesn't mean you're not Chayav in Sheni. Now you're a Gadol, now you're a Jew. And the Pesach Sheni comes along, so you Chayav to bring Karban Pesach Sheni. Right? Okay. Rabbi Nasan Omer, Kol Shazakuk Rishon Zakuk Sheni. Kol Shena Zakuk Rishon Zakuk Sheni. Someone who is bound to Rishon is also bound to Sheni. Someone who is not bound to Rishon because they were a Katan or a Guy is not bound to Sheni. Right? So that's the Machlokas. So are you Chayiv and Sheni if you weren't Chayiv and Rishon? So the Gemara says, what's that Machlokas? What's that Machlokas about? So Rabbi Sover Sheni Regal of Nasmehu. So he holds, Rebbe holds it's his own regal. Right? Pesach Sheni is its own regal. Its own holiday. Its own time. Right? So since it's its own holiday, so just because you weren't Chayiv and Rishon, doesn't mean you're not Chayiv and Sheni. Comes along Pesach Sheni. So you have Chayiv to bring Pesach Sheni. I don't care if you weren't Jewish on Pesach Rishon, who really cares? Right? It's his own thing. Its own thing. Independent. And that's why you're going to be able to get curries for Sheni. It's its own thing. Right? It's its own thing. Well, what's not so simple about that? Why can't you say it's totally its own thing?
Because you're not a person who brings the first one.
Yeah, right. Exactly. It's not so simple. If you brought it on the first one, no one's holding you chayv to bring it again. No one's holding you chayv twice. Right? So it's not so easy. I mean, it's own regal, but you're only bringing it if you didn't bring it on Rishon. Which has to be explained. Right? But for now, he's not talking about that. He says it's his own regal. It's his own regal, therefore, I don't care if you're a Jewish or Gaish and Rishon, you're Chayiv and Sheni. Right? And you can be able to be Chayiv and saying, like, saying it's going according to the same thing. Right? Chayiv and Lassus and Sheni, Rashi. It says, the Kasava regal, Bifnei Atzmo, because he holds his own regal. The Isle Chayiv, Amal Ben Ashe, it has his own Chayiv, its own independent Chayiv. Even someone who wasn't fit to bring it on Rishon is chayav to bring it on Sheni. Why not? Good. Here that's Rabbi. Okay, so Rabbi's holding the Kriyon Pesach Sheni his own independent thing. Okay. Fine. Rabbi Nosson Omer, I'm sorry. Yeah, Rabbi Nosson Savar, but Rabbi Nosson argues that no, Sheni is not its own regal b'fnei atzmo. Rather, Sheni tashlumin the Rishonu. Right? The Sheni is the tashlumim of the Rishon. It's tashlumim. But tikkun of the Rishon lo maskin lai. It's a tashlumim, but it doesn't fix the Rishon. So what does it mean it's a tashlumim? It means it's a payback opportunity. Something like that, right? It's a payback. If you missed Rishon, then here's your chance to be to do Sheni. Right? But if you were a guy on Rishon, you didn't miss Rishon, you don't do with Rishon. You're a Katan, you don't do with Rishon. So you can't do Tashlumin. Tashlum presumes that you missed it, that you missed something that you're paying back. But if you were a guy, then there's no sense in bringing Sheni. Okay, there's no sense in bringing Sheni. And also, since it's the Tashlumin, it's not gonna be Mechayiv Yom Karis. Okay, it's not 100% clear why that is, but he's saying since it's only a tashlumim, it's not its own independent thing, so therefore it's not going to have a karis. Okay, that has to be explained, but that's what he's holding. Rashi. Tashlumim de Rishon. Guman de lo ichsi ve Rishon. Lo mechayev hasheni. Someone who wasn't fit on Rishon is not chayev hasheni. Umihu tikune le Rishon mi karis. But it fixes the Rishon from karis. Okay, what does that mean? But it doesn't fix it. So if you're mezid on Rishon, even though it's tashlumen, so what does tashlumen mean? It somehow repays, fills in your missing. It doesn't fix the karis. It's tashlumen, but it doesn't fix things. Which is a little bit funny. It sounds a little bit contradictory. What is it then? If it's tashlumen, then why doesn't it fix it? Okay. Hilka chayiv karis al rishon, nafilu asas the sheni. So you chayiv karis al rishon, even if you did the sheni. Because it does do tashlumen, but it doesn't fix it. Upater al hasheni. Okay, but your potter for sheni, him shogeg rishon, here's it for sheni. If you shogeg rishon and maze it on sheni, you're potter. Why? The halaslechi uvam pe nafshe. Because it doesn't have its own chiyuv. Ube rishon har shogeg. And on rishon, you're shogeg. Then the second one, you're maze it, but it's not its own chiyuv. So therefore, it's not going to generate karis. Okay, that has to be explained. But he's saying somehow, since it's tashlumim, it's not its own chiyuv, so it's not going to generate karis. Okay? You with me so far? And the last sheet of the Gemara says, Rabbi Echanani ben Akavi Savar Sheni Takanta Durishon Hu. No, the Sheni is a Takanta, it's a fixer. It's a fixer. Okay? Takanta Durishon Mikaris Dilai from its Karis, the Filo Hizid Burishon, Hasheni Pocho Menakaris. Even if you're mazed on the Rishon, the Sheni one pathos you. And this is what Rashi explained earlier, that he learns that it's a tashlumim and it's a takanta. Right? If you look earlier, again, he said that. He said, if you do the sheni, it's a tashlumim derishon v'takanta derishon. Two things. Whatever that means. It's a tashlumim, but not only is it tashlumim of rishon, but it actually fixes it. So if you're amazed on rishon, then the second one is going to fix the problem, and you're going to remove your cars. You're going to remove your cars. But presumably he would also say the ger isn't going to be chayiv. Because again, its existence is as a fixer, a tashlumen. Okay, so it kind of is like a two against one. Right, a one against two. First position holds a two independently of him, regel b'fnei atzmo. Right, and therefore you can be chayiv karis for the second one. Whereas the second two positions, two and three, hold no. It's not its own thing, but it's only a tashlumen. Or something, right? And it's only a fixer, a tashlumen for the Rishon. Therefore, if you weren't chayiv in Rishon, you're not going to be chayiv in Sheni. Went to both 2 and 3. And also, you're not going to be chayiv karis for 2, because it's only a tashlumen. The only chayiv karis for 1. And the sub machlokas between the second and third position is if you did do it on Rishon, I'm sorry, if you were mazed on Rishon, and then you end up doing it on this on Sheni, right, or being shogeg on Sheni, does that rectify? It's definitely a tashlumim if you bring it. It's a tashlumim, it's a payback. But does it rectify the thing and remove your karis or not? The second position says it doesn't help you. The third position says it does. Okay? So those are the facts. Okay? Those are the facts. And further, the Gemara basically learns them all out from Sukkim. Okay. Now, so here's a good question: is that according to the second position, if you're mazed on Rishon, so now what are you saying? The second one is a tashlumen, but what does that do? I mean, it's not helping you; it's not moving your kares. So what is it? It's a tashlumen. I mean, what does that accomplish? It's not really removing your kares. So what does it mean? It's a tashlumen. So you could say it's tashlumen if you did a b'shogeg. If you didn't bring Rishon b'shogeg or something, then it's tashlumen that somehow you get your kiyum or something like that. You know. But it doesn't. It sounds like you do bring it on. It sounds like even if you're mazid from Rashi, that you do bring it on Shani. It's just not going to remove your karis. It doesn't sound like it's only by shogeg. He says, if you do be mazid, it's not going to fix the karis. But it doesn't sound like you don't bring it on Shani. It sounds like everyone agrees you'll bring it on Shani, even if you're mazid on Risha. You bring it. It's just not going to fix your karis. So what is accomplished? What are you doing? So it's a tashlum. What does that mean? If it doesn't fix your cars, what is it doing? And why doesn't it fix your cars if you are doing it? That's a good question. Good question. That's like a question in the second. Okay? Right. It's a funny position. It's a funny position. Right. Okay, good? Are we good on the facts here? Okay, so I think we should read further than the Gemara. Okay? I mean, we basically got the facts. But I think it's worth going through the Gemara, because if you're actually learning on your own, I think it would be appropriate to do, because the Gemara is going to learn that from Sukkim. So I don't remember there being any specific clues from it, but I just feel like for the sake of completeness and just to show you how you go through Sukkim, I think it's, you never know, and it's just worth seeing where they get their positions from. It's kind of interesting how they get it from the Sukkim. You'll see. You'd think it all is derived from the reading of these Sukkim. Okay? So we'll see. But sometimes Svara, you get a hint from a Svara. Whenever you go trying to learn a Sukkim, you're trying to get hints, clues to get inroads into the sugya, you know? So the more information you have that could help you, the better. So you never know where you're going to get it from. So obviously, I mean, you keep learning and learning, reading and reading and reading, daf and Gemara. So obviously, there has to be a certain point at which you're willing to stop and, you know, and think. But at the same time, especially if these things, if they're limudim, which the Gemara is about to say, they're all learning from a pasuk, it may be a helpful clue and based on the limudim. So it's worth doing I don't remember personally getting a clue from it, but I think methodologically it's a good idea to do. If you have an argument and they each get it from a pasuk, oftentimes the psukim indicate how they're learning. So it's worth doing. You know, even if now, I mean, again, I don't seem to remember anything like that, but I'd like to see it again anyways. Maybe I'll pick up a new clue. And it's the way to go. It's just the way to go, because it's like closing your eyes to more, you know, more opportunities of something that shall help point you to a direction for you as far as it can emerge. You know what I mean? So it kind of sometimes is a little bit overwhelming to get more facts, but it's still, I think, worthwhile doing, you know? Okay, so where do they get it from? Where do they get it from? I mean, by the way, that is a balance, kind of a delicate issue. The tricky part of learning methodology is like, when do you have enough facts to be able to define? There are different kind of opinions about that, and it's, you kind of have to get a you get your own position, you know, comfort level. But I mean, if you just define something right at the very first line, you could be missing clear facts that show you like you're missing the boat. You know, you maybe even not have the facts straight, or you may be making it, you know. So sometimes, it can be important pieces of information which are yet to come, which are, like, for instance, if you would have stopped at the, right here, we did two parts, right? First it said, you know, they got Carson Rishon, Carson Shani. Then the Gemara brings in the Katan thing and shows you, one guy holds a Tashlum and the other one holds its regular Fnei Asma. If you didn't do that, if you would have stopped at the beginning, you wouldn't have known that the Machlokas is where the Gemara explains. It's regular Fnei Asma or it's Tashlum. That's kind of an important piece of information. If you would have just stopped, once you see the first Machlokas, say, okay, let's stop here, let's define. So you would have missed the boat. I mean, the Gemara is explaining to you the Machlokas. So the only way to know that is to kind of read a little further and see if the Gemara is giving you more information, which is relevant or not. So you kind of gotta at least, you know, skim ahead to see where is a legitimate stopping point. You know, so it's a little bit annoying that you have to do that, because sometimes the pshat is hard, but at the same time, you know, you can't turn away from relevant facts. And you have to kind of have a good judgment call about whether or not they're relevant or not. And that's kind of what you, through, you know, practice, you know, you kind of pick up how to know when something is pertinent and when something is a side point. Kind of have to have a feel. Like any science is the same thing. I mean, when are there relevant experiments? I mean, you could do a million experiments and try to make sure you have all the different factors and whatever. There's sort of a certain point where you feel like you have enough information and you have to think, try to theorize, and then another time where you have to say, no, I need more experiments to figure out, help resolve certain cases. I mean, just in any area, when do you start to think? You can't think prematurely when you don't have enough information. But on the other hand, you can get more and more information for years and years and years and years, and you never think. So it's a kind of an intuitive thing. You have to kind of get a sense.
Okay, so let's go for that. Okay, so it says like this. So the Gemara says, they all learn it out from one pasuk. Okay, all three positions really are deriving their position from the exact same, pasuk. Here's the pasuk. Ish asher hu tahar v'derach lo haya.
Okay, here's the pasuk. Let me just get the pasuk here. So it says, and a person who is tahar, and he's not on the road, okay? This is the guy who's tahar, and he's not on the road. And he refrains from bringing the Pasach. Okay, v'nichusan efeshahim yameah. This guy gets cars. Ki karban Hashem lo hikrib mo'adam, because he did not bring the karban Hashem mo'adam, in his time, cheto yisa eshehu. This person should bear his sin. So he says like this. So,
Rabbi Savar, v'chadal lasos ha-pesach v'nichrusa d'lo avad v'rishon.
So the way Rabbi reads it is like this. A person who's tahar and wasn't on the chukah, v'chadal lasos ha-pesach, and he does not do Pesach rishon, v'nichrusa, he gets kares. Okay, v'nichrusa nefeshem yameha. Inami, he puts in a little or, karban Hashem lo hikriv, because it says ki karban ha-ki. So he learns ki means or. Okay, or. Okay, ki, so there's four different meanings. Okay, so here he learns that here or ki means or. So or karban Hashem lo hikrivu moado b'sheni. Okay, or you don't bring karban Hashem moado chato yisa eshahu, and chato yisa means he bears his sin. And umimayda chato yisa karesu. And how does he know that chato yisa means kare? So I'll tell us in a second, but he says that's from a different limud. That the word chato yisa, he'll bear his sin, means kare. So basically, the pasuk is saying, if a person is not on the far away, he's tahar, and he doesn't bring kare, he doesn't bring pasach, rishon, he puts in, is kares, or ki, or he doesn't bring karban Hashem, pasach sheni, then also chato yisa, he gets kares. So basically, Torah is saying is if he doesn't bring rishon or he doesn't bring sheni, he gets kares, right? So that's Rabbi's position. Two separate kareses. Only thing he has to prove is that cheta yisa means kares, because it only says the word kares once. So if you learn cheta yisa is a reference to kares, then you're good. Okay, so how do you know cheta yisa is a reference to kares? So it says kesavar megadev haynu mevarches Hashem. Megadev is a reference to the pasuk talks about megadev is a reference to someone who. It's a euphemism. It says who blesses Hashem, but it really doesn't mean blesses. It means curses. So the chsev mevarches Hashem v'nosei chato. Okay, it says there v'nasa chato. V'gamar hay chato v'dahacha mechato dahacha malalang kares afkan kares. So basically, he learns from there that chato there means kares and chet here means kares. So therefore, it's a lashon of kares. Okay, it's just a lima that the lashon of chato yisa is a reference to kares. Okay, the different sugya we don't have to really get into it, but. They're just trying to show that that term means, it's like Zereshava, that term means kares. Okay, so that's Rabbi. So he learns ki means or. So it says if you don't bring Rishon, you get kares. Or if you don't bring Sheni, you get kares. And that's the pasuk one or the other. Yes, he says b'mo'adom means Pesach Sheni. Ki karban Hashem lo'kir b'mo'adom means in its time means Pesach Sheni. Even though it doesn't sound like it's the mo'ed, right? I know. True, but that's what he says. Look, Pesach Sheni also has a mo'ed. Right? Well, because he holds this regular for Atzma. So it's a moment. Well, that's his point. That's right. That's his time. Right? That's what he says. It's not a question on him, right? Because you're thinking of it as the Tashlumen. But if you think of it as regular for Atzma, yeah, what's the problem? Okay?
Yeah.
Fine. So it boils down to how you word that word ki. He says ki is not a saying because, but it's a totally separate thing. It's not explaining the previous thing, it's saying or. Okay? And e, that's one of the Lashonos ki. Ki is a vague lashon. It has four different meanings of the word, so that's one of them is or. Okay, that's Rabbi. Rabbi Nosson Savar v'chadol asa pesach v'nichrusa. That a person doesn't bring the carbon pesach and he gets kares. Dehai ki lashon dehahu. Here ki means because. Because. Not or, but because. V'achikam Rahman, and this is what the carbon pesach is saying. That he gets kares, deha carbon Hashem, look at him adam. Right? Because he didn't bring karban Hashem v'mo'ado, ki karban Hashem v'mo'ado. Hai chato yisa mai avid lai. Okay. 1 second. So he uses chato to teach you the other, whatever. He uses chato for something else. So basically he's saying is, so what's the pasuk saying? You get kares because you didn't bring karban Hashem v'mo'ado. So what does that tell you? Kares is for Rishon and undo with Sheni. Sheni has nothing to do with it. Right, Chato Yisrael is a different thing. So basically, Pasuk saying is if a person doesn't bring Rishon, he gets Kares because he didn't bring Karban Hashem v'mo'ado, which means in Rishon, he didn't bring it in his time. And therefore, Rav Nosson holds that Kares is only for Rishon, period. Nothing to do with Sheni at all. Right? Sheni is Tashlumim, it's a nice thing, whatever, but it doesn't have anything to do with Kares. Kares is for Rishon, period. Okay? Yeah, right. Okay? And then the last position says like this. Okay. The Rav Chanan ben Akavi sover chadol asa pesach v'nichrusa. E. Okay, he learns the another meaning of ki sometimes means if. If. Okay, so far we had it meant or because. Now the third way it can mean is if. So it says, he gets chadol asa pesach, he doesn't bring pesach v'nichrusa, and he gets kares, nechrusa v'nichrusa he. E karban Hashem l'kirmo. If he doesn't bring the karban Hashem mo'ado, it means if he doesn't bring Pesach Sheni. So it's a condition in his kares on Pesach Rishon. Pesach Rishon mechayev kares. If he also doesn't bring Pesach Sheni, okay. So it says bechamisav echolas Pesach v'nechusa. E karban Hashem l'kirmo'ado b'sheni. Okay, fine. So Rashi. Hanani nami darsh hai ki lashon e kerabi. Okay, one second. Sorry, Ella Kesavar Lav Milsa Khriti hi Ella Kuris the Kama Talabe. It's really not a separate thing, but it's going on the first one. Vinichras Mimezid the Rishon im Karban Hashem Laker Vashani. So if you don't bring it Vashani, then you get it on the Rishon. So E means if, but I guess the if could mean it's a condition on the first one that your Kuris on the Rishon is if you don't bring in the second one. Or if could mean a totally separate if. You get Karis and Rishon, and if you don't do Sheni, also you get Karis. So they're both, in terms of the word key, it's meaning if, either way. But is it a separate if, that you get Karis and Rishon, if you don't bring Rishon, you get Karis. If you don't bring Sheni, you get Karis. Totally two separate things. That's the way Rabbi learned it. And Rav Chanania is learning it, no, you don't get Karis and Rishon, qualifying if you don't bring Sheni also. If you don't bring Sheni also. Okay? What's interesting, though, about Rav Chanania, so he's saying is, it's a little bit inconsistent with the facts, which we're going to have to explain, but again, he's saying is that the Pasuk is saying is, if you don't do Kares, if you don't do Rishon, then you get Kares, if you don't bring Karban Hashem and Moed on Sheni. Was that his facts? Or was it a little different? A little bit of a problem, because Rav Chanania ben Akavia held, at least the way Rashi learned that he held, is that if you bring it on Rishon, and then you're a shogeg on Sheni, right? If you're mazed on Rishon and then you're shogeg on Sheni, then you're also potter, right? You're also potter because it fixes it somehow, and now you fixed it. Now you became like shogeg, right? So, but that the pasuk is saying is you get if you don't bring it on Rishon, you get kares if you don't bring it on Sheni. But it's not really if you don't bring it on Sheni. It's like if you are mazed on Sheni. Right? It's not really if you don't bring it. Even if you don't bring it, but you don't bring it to show gig, then also. It's like, if you positively don't bring it, but maze it on Cheney. That's how he's going to have to read, right? It's like, you get Kares if you don't bring it on Rishon. If you, Bedavka, don't bring it, Mevadil it on Cheney. Right? That's how he's going to have to learn. It's a condition in Rishon, that you only have Kares in Rishon, if you maze it, but knock it out on Cheney. Okay? If you maze it, knock it out on Cheney.
But it's clearly
like
saying about the first one.
First one is mazed, but he also holds the second one has to be mazed.
It's clear from the pasuk that we're talking about
mazed, no? Yeah, okay, you mean he says it's talking about mazed. I know, but it could say that's true in the first kingdom, but now it's saying, e karban Hashem lukir b'moado, you could say if you don't bring it. If you just read it saying it, if you don't bring it, it's one thing, v'chad al azabezel means you refrain from doing it. That's mazed. But now it says, if you don't bring Shani, the simplest way would be is you get Kares. If you don't fix it, you know? But he's not saying if you don't fix it, it's if you're not amazed again. Which, it's okay, it's not terrible, it's just, you know, it's not the way, you know, to just realize it's not the plainest way to read it. But whatever, I'm not saying it's a problem, it's just notice. Okay? So far so good? Okay. Now the Gemara does an interesting thing for you. Okay? Just finish up till the Mishnah so we could say our Hajjums and you know, the Mishnah, the Gemara is an interesting thing for you, which you wish we would do a little more often. But it kind of gives you a summary, okay, a little synopsis of the facts. Okay, it runs through the cases according to all three positions. Okay, so maybe we could test you guys, see how you do. Don't look in. Okay, so it says Hilkach, Hizid Bazeo Bazeo. If you're mazed on both, so what's going to happen? You mazed on both, and according to all three positions, what's going to happen? Chayev on the first. The first guy holds Yichai for either one. Chayev. Second guy is also Tashlum, but Yichai. Everyone's going to hold Yichai cards, right? Because you're based on both, right? That's a no-brainer, right? So then they're going to call Chayev. Shogag bezeh obezeh, if you're shogig on both. Also you're not Chayev, right? Obviously, you're totally shogig. Then they're going to call Potter. Okay, here's where it gets interesting. Okay, Hizid Barishon v'shogag v'sheni. So let's say you're mazed on the first one, and then a shogeg on the sheni. According to the first position, you're chayev. According to the second position, also you're chayev, because all that matters is the first one. According to the third position, the shogeg on the sheni fixes it. Right? And now it makes you shogeg, and you're okay. So it says, the Rebbe, the Rebbe Nassim, mechayev, the Rebbe Chanan, mechav, you're potter. Good. Shogeg barishon mazed b'sheni. If you're shogeg on the first one, you're mazed on sheni.
Chayev, potter, potter.
Right. So the first position, Rebbe, holds his regular pronouncements to say Chayev for the second one. But the other ones don't hold that. They hold the second one is only a fixer, tashlumim, or the fixer, or whatever. You're going to be potter. So it says, the Rabbi Chayev, the Rabbi Nassan, the Rabbi Chanan, Yevin Akav, you're a potter. Right? Okay. But you see in the Gemara, though, that if you're mezer on Rishon and you're shogeg on Sheni, according to the fixer position, it's going to fix it. That's why Rashi wasn't making it up. It's from the Gemara. The Gemara said, if you're mezer on Rishon and you're shogeg on Sheni, it fixes it. So you see that it's clear that in order to fix it, you don't have to actually bring it on Sheni, even if you just, according to the fixer position, the third position, even if you just become shogeg on the Sheni, that's still going to fix it. Still going to fix it. Right? So it's kind of interesting thing why it does that. Right? Right. Right. Gemara don't usually do that. You know? I mean, Rashi explains it also. Maybe tell five of like cars, you know? You're right. That's what he says. According to the second and third position, if you're mezid on Rishon, the Shogun Rishon, mezid on Shani, your potter, because Rashi, the last Rashi, the lo ksiv karis el Rishon or Shogigbo, because they basically only hold the karis on the Rishon, karis only on the Rishon, and then you're a Shogig. So the Shani one could be a fixer or whatever, or separate, but there's no karis on the Shani. Okay, the only one who's karis on the Shani is if you say either F. Well, two choices: right? This or that. This or that. Okay, so I'm just saying it's interesting. Gemara doesn't ordinarily do it. It kind of, you know, you feel like you didn't need this one. You know, it's if you're following the whole thing, you kind of could have figured it out on your own. So it's interesting. You know, sometimes you feel like you're not exactly clear on all the facts. It would be nice if Gemara did this for you. You know, Rashi explains it. It's all, you know, it's nice. It's a nice, friendly Gemara. Okay, so these are basically the facts. Okay, these are basically the facts, according to Rashi. Right? A lot of positions going on here. Okay, so what do we do? What do we do? I mean, I think maybe we should hold off on giving svaras for tomorrow, but what's our approach? How do we approach a gemara like this? Okay, and before we give a svar, what should we do? It's too much. There's too much going on here. How do we get started? Okay, so the lady just says as a basic sketch, the first machlokas is, do you look at it as a regal b'fnei atzmo, shayani is regal b'fnei atzmo, that's rabbi, versus saying it's somehow a fixer of the second. And then within two and three, given that it's a fixer, what kind of fixer? Is it just tashlumim, or is it a tashlum and a takana? But that's the basics. We have two different things to define here, right? Two different things to define here. So, okay, so you could say just start with one of them. Start with the first one, right? Okay, good. Good. But I think there's something you should do even before that. And so the following that approach, you basically define it as a two-way machlokes, I guess. Do you say Rishayni is a regular b'fnei atzma, or do you say it's a fixer? Whatever, and keep fixing pretty loose, right? So you could try to define that. Okay, but I would recommend, I think there's a first step before you're even ready to do that. To me, the limudim here aren't that informative. I mean, I think it's worth doing to see that, and maybe you could think it is informative, you don't have to agree with me, but it's more like it's a matter of do you read it if, do you read it if, you know, like, I mean, you kind of see it, and I guess you can kind of think about it, but, I mean, it kind of seems like there's, you have to fit it into the pasuk afterwards, but I just don't see getting that many clues from here. Like, the first position says, saying if, or, says this, or that. It's kind of, the other one says no, because, I just don't see it as telling you more than you already have in the facts.
Right, that would just tell us more. Explain the
how they get it from the pasuk, and it's not really how do you know to read it as an if or as a whatever. It's kind of, you're going to have to use the svar to figure out. I don't think they hold E always means if, so it kind of comes down to the svaros. They're just showing that they all are consistent with the pasukim, so they all can read the pasukim. But I don't see it. It could be there is a clue here, but I don't see any clues in seeing the limud them. But I'm happy that I did it, because this way I know that there are no clues. You know, that's part of the thing, is you have to know what's the, you know. Seems to me from seeing the psukim that they're basically coming from svaras here, you know. Because how do you know whether you should read it as an if or as an or if or whatever? So you know. So again, I don't really see this that as being that helpful. Okay, but what should we do? What could we do first?
Could we look into the chiyuv of Pesach Sheni? Like, what is it?
Okay, look into the chiyuv of Pesach Sheni. It's the only thing is it's very very open ended. You know, it's hard to think you'd want to do that after, you know. That's like, it's very open-ended, speculative, you know. Like, the way you get insight into the chiyuv is by doing a sugya like this, you know what I mean? Right. So, like, if you want to get insight into the thing, I'd recommend doing the
like
sugya. You can look at the pasuk, But I mean, you see how there are so many ways to read the pasuk. I mean, so there is an approach to start. Look at the story, how did it happen? But I don't know if that's really the way to get into the nitty gritty of the halachic machlokas. You know, I mean, that maybe is like a more philosophical speculation. You know, like here we're trying to define. Here we have like the, you know, I favor the other approach: is do the sugya, and then it could help you learn the parsha of Pesach Sheni, as opposed to let's just sit back and try to learn the parsha of Pesach Sheni. How do we? You know, we don't know how to do that. We know how to learn a sugya; it's very concrete and rigorous. So I feel like you go from the rigor to the more loose, abstract thing. Sometimes the rigor could help you get into that. But to start just going to the psukim, you see, they know how to read the psukim. You see three different ways to read the same pasuk. So we're not really, and we don't even know how to do this. And now just to take the psukim. So there is an approach like that. I don't like doing that in general, you know. I'm not saying you can never look at psukim, but just it doesn't seem to be that. It seems like here we got good concrete problems here. We don't necessarily have to do that. I mean, on your direction, I just think that you're skipping a step. Where it's still, to think about the machlokas, I think, is still very noisy. Noisy and overwhelming to think about. Yeah, so I think it's a Matt's on a good path here, but I think the machlokas itself is complicated. Let's take one position. Okay, because the machlokas is saying, what is position one arguing with position two? But position one itself isn't so simple. Right, it has its own problem. Like one problem was, if you say it's regular b'nei atzmo, so then why is it that if you bring Rishon, you don't bring on Sheni? That's a problem in the first position. My point, the general point is, let's define the first position. It doesn't have to be a machlokas. So let's say Rebbe is the only one. No one argued with him. Okay, we know Mitzora from Sinai, the first position is correct. Right? We're not done. You don't need a machlokas to define. The first position itself should be definable. You know, so machlokas is saying, can we compare and contrast the first and second position? You're not ready to compare and contrast. You know what I mean? Before, that's already a more advanced type of a thing. And it may help you to gain insight into the first by comparing it with the second, but I just feel like there's enough in the first position to define it in its own terms. He has a system. Let's define the system according to the first position. Okay, the second one we're not ready to define because there's a further machlokas, so we can leave that vague or whatever. But let's just take the first position. First position is on its own, and he holds the regal b'fnei. What does that mean, regal b'fnei atzmo? What's the system here of what's the relationship between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, such that they're separate? You get koreis on one or on the other, right? You're chayiv on the second one, even if you were a guy on the Rishon. But somehow, if you were not Jewish, I'm sorry, somehow if you brought Rishon, you're not going to bring Sheni. So it's not exactly regal of Neatmo like Pesach and Sukkot. Pesach and Sukkot are two different regals. Whether you chayv and a Sukkot are totally independent of whether you ate matzah on Pesach, right? That's a regal of Neatmo, that I understand. But it's not exactly regal of Neatmo. So what does he exactly mean here? What's his position? Right? I mean, he has all, those are his facts. Chayiv kares are one or the other. If you're mezid on either one of them, you're chayiv kares. If you're a convert in between, you're chayiv on the sheni. But if you brought it on Rishon, you're not chayiv on sheni. Right? So I think that's a good way to start. Okay? I think the first, take them, there are three positions, but it's not, certain times you have a machlokas, and it's simple facts. These hold chayiv, the old potter, the old, you know, just so I kind of define the machlokas. But again, here I think it's sufficiently complicated. Each position is sufficiently complicated that I think it's wise to define each of the three positions independently as if they are the only position and then to kind of see if we could get some bigger picture, you know. That's what I think. I think it's too, you know, I think in thinking in Svaras, you got to go step by step, but it means to take, you always want to make the problem smaller. You always want to work on smaller problems and work your way from small problems to big problems. You know, so you want to get the because otherwise there's too many things going on. So you want to simplify your thought to one problem and to three thinking about it at a time. At least when it's just a definition. I mean, sometimes other problems can help you, but when there are layers of problems, you want to start with simple and work your way up towards more complicated. You know, if you take up too many things at the same time, you're not, your mind, it's too much for your mind to deal with. Yeah. Okay, you with me? So why don't we try to do that for tomorrow? Let's try to do that, the Rishon. Right? And once we do that, then I guess we could start working our way into the Sheni, the Tashlumim. I mean, within the other ones, it's apparently there's two things going on. Tashlumim, Takanta. Somehow there's two things happening there. I mean, that's where we're going to have to... Maybe we'll get to that also tomorrow. But what are those things? Right? Second one holds Tashlumim. What does that mean? Right? With that question, if it's Tashlumim, Aaron's question. If it's Tashlumim... If you amaze it on the Rishon, what does Tashlum accomplish? If it's not going to move your cards, what does it even mean, Tashlum? Right? What is Tashlum and what's Takanta? Right? That's where we have to go after that. Okay? Yeah. Okay, good. Now, on I think on Wednesday, I could give share, but I think I'm going to do it on the phone. So I don't know if that matters, but as long as you set up the phone, we should be okay.